at least something about it. That's my hope. So a little bit about me real quickly. I co-host the Cold Fusion Weekly podcast. If you haven't listened to the podcast, listen at least once. We love to do it. It's free to download, coldfusionweekly.com. Lead developer for Mach 2, as I already said. CIO for Great Biz Tools LLC, which is a new startup in the Twin Cities, but it's kind of a reincarnation from a company that's 25 years old. We're going to be offering some cool things with Mach 2 in the future, so including some commercial support and training, on-site training. And then also, I have a degree in music. That's where I got my start as a programmer. Music school is expensive, so I programmed my way through it and realized that you can't make any money off music, so I became a programmer. And then lastly, here's my little cool guy that is not me or never was me. Good conquers evil unless good is stupid, so try not to be stupid because your evil code will conquer you. So I have a couple goals for you. To be able to answer by the end of the presentation. And I always like this because sometimes you go to a presentation, someone says, oh, you went to that, I didn't get to go to that. What did you learn? So what's a framework? What type of framework is Mach 2? And how does Mach 2 work? And really this is like big picture items, but it's good to go over. So just some things to remember here. No stupid questions, hopefully I won't give any dumb answers. So if you have a question, raise your hand. I'll be glad to take it. If not, I'll say, talk about it at the end or after the presentation. Typically with OO programming, you feel like you're going to hit your head against the wall for many years, and I've been doing it for many years, and I still do it every day. And then take baby steps with it. It's really an iterative process, and that's basically my best phrase that I like to do with things. Iterative, iterative, iterative. And somebody this morning actually was talking to me and actually used that phrase, and I stopped and I said, my favorite phrase. And don't expect to leave this presentation and be like, I'm a Mach 2 coder. So let's jump into it. I like to do things in kind of two parts, programmer speak followed by like real world speak. So the first one here is programmer speak, and we'll go through this real quickly because no one really cares about these big words, do you? Framework is really just a core group of files. If you're at the framework conference and you don't know that, then maybe you shouldn't be here. So you can leave the doors back there. Anyways, it's a really good way of consistently organizing your code and to make your application be able to expand and grow over a period of time. That's always the problem. You spend all this time developing an application, maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year if it's a really big application, and in the end, how many years does that stay as a legacy application that you have to maintain? And of course, you're going to get requests to add this or this doesn't work right. So if you can do that easily and not have to spend your time doing that, you can develop new applications and maybe in the future replace it with something better. Another thing that it's good for a framework allows you to do is it lets everybody, especially on teams, work together. Now, if you're a single programmer, you can come up with your own framework. You probably have some sort of methodology to do your code, and people of habit. So we like to do things the same way over and over. Well, if you have your own way and nobody knows about it and somebody else has to come look at your code, they're not going to be able to like teleport into your mind and figure out exactly what you were doing. But if you're using a publicly available framework, if they know Mach 2, they should be able to go into your application with a reasonable amount of time and be able to figure out what's going on. And then lastly, I mean, we do spend, when we design frameworks, we spend a lot of time trying to architecturally come up with good patterns. We don't want to build a framework and come up with something that's going to make up for a really bad application for you. So there are some times we spent a lot of time arguing, bickering, saying, you're a doofus, what are you talking about, when we come up with stuff for the framework. So hopefully we've come up with good ideas for you, and of course they evolve as the framework progresses with age and new versions come out. So what does this mean for you? It just makes your life easier. Who works 60-hour weeks sometimes? I do. I'm an independent consultant. I don't like working 60-hour weeks. I want to work 40 hours. I want to get home. I want to be able to do things I like. So if I cannot do the kludgy stuff that is just CF set, if, which everyone has to do at some point or another, if I can get the framework to handle some basic plumbing for me, it saves me time to do other things that I want to do. And that's really important. And it's also prone to error. If you're tired, you're going to make mistakes. And if you're making mistakes on the simple stuff and you have to debug it, if you are able to reuse, it's much better for you, because then those stupid little errors don't come back to haunt you later. And lastly here about a framework is, at least it's relatively easy to learn. And I should say relative, because everybody has different learning rates and some people learn different frameworks faster or slower than others. And I don't want to say that includes learning OO, because that's a whole entirely different beast. And if you want to learn more about OO, come to my presentation tomorrow about Design Pattern Safari, which will talk about some common OO objects in the terms of cold fusion. I mean, a lot of books out there have stuff about Java and any other frameworks, but people really have a hard time figuring out what does that mean for when I'm in cold fusion code. And lastly, hopefully a framework doesn't hinder you and it helps you. So what's Mach 2? It's not that, although it would be cool if it was that. That's Mach 3. Okay, Mach 2, and this is just programmer speak again, event-driven framework based on the concept of implicit invocation. We'll actually talk about those two terms in a second. It's object-oriented framework, which encourages highly cohesive and loosely coupled components. Wow, that's a big mouthful to me, at least. Let's gloss over that and actually talk about what that means. So, also, Mach 2 is based on the concept of model view controller. How many here have heard about model view controller? Actually, I don't like the term MVC. It's really like MCV if you think about conceptually on a scale of where things are. The controller really sits between the M. The controller sits between the M and the V, and we'll talk about what that is in a minute. But it's been around for a long time. It was developed in the 1960s at Xerox Park Laboratories, because what they were writing applications that were procedural at the time, and they were mixing queries and database logic and logic that outputs stuff to the screen all in one long file. Well, they found out that they couldn't reuse that file anywhere else. They had stuff that reoccurred over and over, but because since they mixed their database logic, their display logic, some controlling logic all in one place, it just was, okay, we can only use it here and there. And they can't. And if you can't reuse things, you're going to have to retype that all out, even though the end result will be very similar to what you did before. So they decided to break things out on in a manner that separated out their business logic into the model. They separated all the display stuff into what they call the view. And in the middle, they wrote a little application, which what Mach 2 really is. It's a controller framework that takes care of being the traffic cop between it. And then lastly about Mach 2, we're not what we're called a full-stack framework, I'm sure. How many people have looked at Ruby on Rails? How many people watched the video and thought, wow, that's cool? Yes, Ruby can be really cool, but it has some full-stack stuff, such as scaffolding and built-in ORM capabilities. And Mach 2 doesn't have that out of the box, but it allows you to talk to different frameworks, such as Cold Spring, Reactor, Transfer, to be able to add some of that stuff in. But it's meant to be more lightweight on the outside and to be extensible through plugins and filters. And I'll do another plug that I have another presentation on plugin filters tomorrow. So, mentioned high cohesion, loose coupling, and I guess how many people understand what that is? Oh, good. Good. More than I expected. And this is something that can be really crazy when you think about it, but I like to use the idea as a coffee maker here. Like, your coffee maker it does something really well. It makes you coffee. It doesn't, like, cook your eggs for you in the morning unless you got that crazy one that I saw in, like, the Sky Mall catalog on the airplane. Mm-hmm. It'll also toast your bread and cook you an egg. But if you have a regular coffee maker, it just makes your coffee. That's high cohesion. If you have a multitasker, it's not going to do one thing very well. The idea of coupling, though, when it comes to components, is you'd want to make things as loosely coupled as possible. Like, I don't know very many coffee makers that allow you to run a water line to it so you don't have to fill up the reservoir every morning. I mean, yes, that might be convenient, but at the same time, you can't move your coffee maker anywhere. It's stuck there because it's tethered to the wall. Well, it does need electricity, and the idea with the electricity is that instead of, you can always unplug it and plug it in somewhere else. So that's the idea of kind of like passing in CF arguments, if you want to think of it like that. But that's the idea that Mach 2 kind of forces you to build these high cohesion, loose coupling models, which is all your business logic. And because of that, you'll end up with an application that's more flexible in the end. So we kind of talked a little bit about MVC, but let's talk about what in the terms in cold fusion is. Your model, in Mach 2, we encourage you to write, of course, object-oriented models. And, of course, that's going to be made up of CFCs. Your view is going to be anything that shows anything to the user, such as CFML pages, HTML pages. It could be returns from AJAX calls that return back, you know, like something that you put like enter HTML and you can add a widget or something like that. And of course, Mach 2 sits between the model and the view as the traffic cop. It does specific plumbing for you overall. And if you look at the little diagram here, you'll see that the green part is the controller. That's really Mach 2. It could be Model Glue. It could be Fusebox. It could be your homegrown framework that you have for yourself. The red part and the orange part, and, of course, the database at the top is your model. And then on the bottom, it's your view. And then, of course, the beans, which is something we talk about in my presentation tomorrow, is something entirely different. But that kind of goes through. If you think of this as like someone said today, it's kind of like building a lasagna. It has different layers. And if you think of your application of having layers, you're breaking your application up instead of putting everything in one file. When you say, like, save user, and a database query at the top, maybe it's a self-posting form or something like that, you're building your application in layers, and because of that, it insulates. It's like putting, you know, the marinara sauce between the noodles. That's the insulator between each noodle. The noodle actually doesn't touch. Your code doesn't touch together. And because of that, you don't end up with sticky noodles and a big mess later on. So let's get into part two of the wide world of Mach 2, I guess. And there's our, I wish that was our mascot in a way, but because sometimes I feel open source projects end up being like this, but they're always a bunch of fun. So as I said before, Mach 2 is event-driven. The idea of an event is something happens. So, for example, if we take our coffee maker example, that's kind of redundant, isn't it? Example for an example. Anyways, if you have your coffee maker, an event could be make coffee. Now, if you make coffee, there's a few other steps to making coffee. You got to grind the beans, you got to put the water in the reservoir, you need to either clean your filter out or put a new filter in, and you got to turn it on, and you got to wait for your coffee and then put it in your cup. So, but still, that's all encapsulated into an event. That event is what happens. So there's many little sub-things. And what I just described about grinding the beans and putting the water in, that's how you would think of it procedurally. But as an object-oriented way, you look at it as this happens. Now, I say, okay, this happens. Then it just does it by itself. It knows what to do. So that's kind of ideas of an event. And behind the event is what in Mach 2 is called the event object. Now, this is kind of really important. How many people still write form and URL scope stuff on a daily basis? You actually do form.whatever or URL.whatever or struct key exists and things like that. Does that get really annoying? Yeah, it does. Well, what Mach 2 does, when it gets a request in, it takes all the form scope stuff and all the URL scope stuff, and it puts it inside an object, a CFC, called the event object. So if you want to see if the user passed their password in like a login form, you would say event.getarg braces password. And it would go and see, oh, did they put a password in? And if they didn't, you would return back to a blank string. And you go, well, if they didn't put it in, even if they didn't even pass that actual attribute, that actual input from that form. So everything gets put into this, some people like to call it this like super data bus or super struct. It's really an object that shuttles around your Mach 2 application. And it's actually really, really useful. And I'll show you some examples how that works. So there's three parts to the request lifecycle. An event is announced. It announces its presence. It says, hey, I'm here. Make the coffee. And your little helpers go and do those steps that I already, you know, laid out for you. Things happen, that's the little steps, and then something else happens. Maybe there's no electricity, so your coffee doesn't get made. That would be like throwing a, you know, CF throw. Something went wrong. The database is down, they didn't input all the form fields or something like that. Or it, you know, it, the request completes and they get back the data they want, quote unquote, the coffee gets made. So before we go any farther, Mach 2 really does have the dash II does mean something. It's based on the concept of implicit invocation. So let's talk a little bit about implicit invocation. As I said before, we encourage this highly cohesive, loosely coupled way of doing things. And it's really II is really anti-procedural. It really kind of says, don't be procedural. Don't think of this procedurally. And it kind of forces you to do that. Basically, the concept I like to do is, and last year when I did a presentation similar to this, it was very close to April 15th, which is the dreaded day of taxes. And so if you have to get your taxes done and you don't do them yourself, you go to your tax guy and go, here's my stuff, all my receipts and bills or whatever, do my taxes. Well, that's announcing an event. You're implicitly causing other things to happen. Your tax guy takes it, he tabulates all sorts of stuff, he draws up the forms, and you get it back. Now, if you explicitly did it, if you procedurally did it, you'd sit there on the phone and say, I gave you my receipts, okay, now let's add up all my, you know, expenses for my business. Then let's do this. And you walk them through on the phone. Well, that's not very useful to you. You could do that yourself. So does everyone understand what I'm trying to get at here? That that's really procedural if you were to stay on the phone like that with somebody. You don't want that. So you just say, hey, do my taxes, and you wait an amount of time and your taxes get done. So you're not, when you do things in Mach 2 implicitly, you don't actually invoke things to happen. You just announce your presence and things happen based on how you wrote your application. But you're never actually saying, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this. Take a peek real close here. When you download Mach 2 from the website and you install it, and I think it's three steps, and I think the fourth step says you're done or something like that. It's that simple. You can also download what's called the Mach 2 skeleton application, and this is like a quick start for you to get your application started. Now, there's a few other ones out there as well. This is the one that's available from Mach2.com. You can get App Booster by Kurt Wurzma. That has some actual, like, it actually has a login already for you, so you can get into a logged in area, and there's some administration stuff with users. And it's called App Booster. I'll actually have it in my resource section at the end for you. And that's available from Kurt Wurzma, who's on the Mach 2 team. There's also Jumpstart by, I think, Dave Shuck, if I remember correctly, who, if anyone's been on the Webosphere, has probably heard about Instant Spot, which is that new blogging community kind of MySpace application all written in ColdFusion, and that Dave did that in Mach 2 as well. But he has a kind of a similar skeleton Jumpstart application called Jumpstart. So, but with Mach 2, there's some key components for you. There's your Mach 2 XML file, which is sitting in the config folder there. Mach 2 is all you do all your events in XML. So it's all in one place. It's not scattered about. You want to make a change, you make a change to one file. And really simply be able to change the flow and control of your application. And, of course, you put things in other folders such as filters, plugins, which are all extensions to the Mach 2 framework that you can define or you can download and share with people. Of course, all your business logic, like, oh, you know, validation for a user or anything like that, would go into your model. And then Mach 2 also has some other things that allows you to, it has built-in exception handling. So if something goes wrong in your application, it throws an exception for you, gives you all the debugger information that you need. And, of course, you can pretty up that template, but that comes with the skeleton application. And, of course, application CFM. We also have application CFC support and, of course, the index.cfm file. So a little bit about events. You're actually not going to be hitting different ColdFusion pages. Like, you might have your domain slash makecoffee.cfm or /, you know, build a monkey. I don't know why I used build a monkey, but I just did. .cfm. Everything's routed through your index.cfm file. And this is called a front controller design. Everything's routed through one file. And how Mach 2 knows what to do is you append as a URL string event equals, you know, show home, login, products dot, you know, nifty widget, whatever you want to call your events, it allows you to do that. Now you're probably going to ask, what happens if I don't, if I just have index.cfm or somebody just types in, you know, mydoname.com and I don't have any of that appended on there? Mach 2 allows you to set in the configuration file what's called your default event. If there's not an event in the URL, it defaults to that. Typically, that would be your home page, I would hope. If it's not, maybe you need to rethink that, but that's pretty simple. And of course, that event parameter, of course, you can change that parameter. You could call it Go, you could call it Monkey. Some people call it Fuse Action because they want it to make it look like it's a Fusebox website, things like that, or they're working with a Fusebox website. You can name that whatever based in the configuration file. But that event action, like Build Monkey or Login Process, corresponds to a snippet in that XML config file that I just talked about, and we'll actually take a peek at that in a minute. So back to our three-step process of how things work. We're kind of put some stuff in here. An event is announced from the URL. So for in our case here, we're going to actually do event equals process login attempt. And this is actually pretend we have a login form, and I'm not going to show the form because everybody knows what a login form looks like, I hope. And so they just filled in the username and password, and they click submit. And everything from that form gets posted to this URL. Process login attempt. Things happen behind the scenes. Maybe it does like an LDAP call or it talks to a database, but some things happen, and then either another event is announced like, hey, their criteria matched, let's show them their admin page, or no, they failed, show them the login page again with an error message. So something happens and the request ends. Yes? A different event could be show login form or show login. So I have some example code to show you in a second here, but our form page, as I just described, has a username and password on it. And as I said before, whenever you do a form post or anything, Mach 2 takes all those form and URL scoped variables and puts it into this Uber object called the event object, which has getters and setters, methods that you call, CF functions, that you call to get data in and out of it. So it acts like a big data bus that you can go back and forth. Some people, you know, have used like the request scope and things like that, but this allows you to pass objects around, get copies of it at certain times so you can take snapshots to see what's going on, anything like that. So it, far superior than, oops, I just hit struct clear on the request scope and I lost everything. I don't know what went on. So as I said before, we post to the index.cfm file, and it says process login attempt. That corresponds to our event handler called process login attempt, and it looks like this. Really simple. It says event. Can everyone read that, I hope? Good. It says event handler. Of course, it gives it a name, process login attempt. There's the access modifier. There's two different types of modifiers in Mach 2. It's really simple. Public, which means anybody can type in index.cfm event equals whatever the event name is. They can get it publicly. You can also have what's called private, which means the only way to get to that event is to have some part of Mach 2 or your code that you write announce that event. So if you have something like an event that does something that you don't want someone to hit publicly, you would put that as private, and there would be a few examples. And there's one command. Inside an event handler, we have things called commands, and there's currently 7 commands built into Mach 2 that come with the framework. You can build other commands, quote-unquote commands, with the filter architecture that allow you to do things like, you might want to have a command that says check login, and that may do something like go to the session scope and see if they've been logged in. If they're not logged in, it could abort everything that's going on and send them to the login page. So anytime that you want to check the login, instead of doing what everyone has probably done before, put an if statement around some text and do some sort of like struct key exists session dot user logged in and have some sort of funkiness like that in their application. You can control your application's flow by just adding different tags inside the event handler. But this one's really simple. There's a command that goes notify. And you have a listener. Well, if you say, hey, you go do something, you have to have something listening for something to do it. So you write an extension to the framework that's, of course, goes to your application that you write, specific to your application, or you may write it and reuse it in other applications of yours. And, of course, it's called the login listener, duh. And it has a method in it, a CF function called process login attempt. Now, I'll show you this code in a second. The listener then takes that. It listens for notifications from the event, and things happen, and methods are called in the listener. Yes, it listens for login stuff. It's pretty simple, and we'll take a look at that. So our story is we've announced an event by posting our form, and the listener is notified, and it says, hey, yes, I'm the listener. You can ignore the part that says, I am the invoker. That's an old concept in Mach 2, and I didn't redo the picture. I'm pretty kitty cat that it's not my cat. I don't know whose cat that is. In our listener, we take those arguments, that username and password that we posted from our form post. We call arguments.event.getArgUsername because we want to get that. We want to do something with it, like maybe give it to some query that looks up a table or an LDAP or something like that. We get the password too. We do want to do some sort of validation. Hey, we just want to say let anybody in our application because you have a login for a reason. Let's take a peek at this in MockBlog. Now, MockBlog is currently in beta. Boy, that's big. I'm going to change the font size for you guys because I'm sure no one can see that. Everything. That better? Okay. You had asked before, where do we show the login form? Well, we have an event called show login form. And in that, we have a include queue forms. We use queue forms to do some JavaScript side validation. We have another command called view page, which goes to our CFM page that holds all our HTML to show the login form. And then we announce another event in that show login form that does our layout. It takes the everyone's probably done sort of some sort of way of layout. You have some main content area and you want to put the header and the footer and maybe some sort of navigation element to it. Very similar. We just render that content, save that someplace else, and then we render that layout with that main template announced to that event called main template, which does some stuff with the header and footer and things like that. And of course we have our process login attempt event handler, which of course takes that stuff from the login listener. Let's take a peek at the login listener. So we said, hey you, login listener, process our login attempt. Of course, it's listening for us. Let's take a peek here at our process login attempt. Very simple. It gets one argument. One of those arguments is that event object, that Uber event object that had everything of us that we need from our form and URL scope. Of course, once you're once you get that request in, you may want to put other stuff in there, like their login status, or you use that as a data bus. So it's like using the request scope that a lot of people use before to go between different pages or includes or anything like that. It's very simple. So we get that CF argument here, and in that CF argument, we're going to do a var scope, and you can tell I don't like CF script, so take me a minute to decipher this. The type is an object. So it corresponds to an object in Mach 2 called mach2.framework.event, and the event object, I can pull up the event object for you.
So it would be incorrect to type it as a structure?
No, it's not a structure. It's an actual CFC that has methods that allow you to get information. Let me grab that for you. Of course, you never actually have to do anything with these files once you install them. They're there for you to use. So if you want to get an argument, like your username, you would call event.getArg, and inside the parentheses, you would put username, because that's the key that we originally had keyed it to in the form scope. It just maps it to this. Who has done Fusebox work? So if you've done Fusebox, you know Fusebox does something very similar by putting all the form and URL scoped variables into the attribute scope. And then that's how you get all that information for you, is through the attribute scope. So this is the same idea, except instead of having the attribute scope, you actually have an object that has methods to get something. So if you want to get that password, you would just call get arg, and in the parentheses you would put password as the name. And if you don't know if it's going to be there or not, you can also put a default value. So you could say, like, you know, it could be a blank string. It could just be two double quotes with nothing in it. So it returns that. Matu by default will return back a blank string if it doesn't exist. Of course, there's other methods, like you can check to actually see if the argument is in there. That actual attribute is inside the event object. You can say, is arg defined? It will return back Boolean for you. It's really simple to interact. It's like struct key exists with is arg defined. Does that answer your question? Okay. So this is that Uber object that you work with all the time in Mach 2, at least in your Mach 2 files. They're very, very simple to do. To do that. So let's get back to our login listener here. So we have a thing in our model that actually takes care of all the login stuff, and we don't really need our listener to know how to do it. We just need to tell it where to go to get the correct information. So it gets our login service here on line 55, and it calls validate login, and it gets that, and of course MockBlog uses email instead of a username and the password, and it gets that out of our event object. Does everyone understand that it calls getArg, gets them out, and it passes them as arguments to our validate login method in our login service. Now, these are the different layers of our application lasagna that we're making up here. In our login service, we have some extra stuff in here. Problems of a small resolution. Validate login takes our username and password as arguments, and we have some weird hashing for security stuff, but it basically asks our login gateway, which is basically holds all our CF query stuff for certain parts of our application, and it calls that. Of course, that I won't show that. That's just a CF query. It's a query that everyone's written. You know, get user where email equals where password equals, and it returns back a CF query object for you. And of course, then this returns back that information all the way back to our login listener, which sets a Boolean: success, true or false. Very simple. And then we go down here. We have a little logic. If it's succeeded, we're going to announce a new event. We're going to put a new event is going to happen, and that is login succeeded. If it didn't succeed, like they put the wrong password in, or really they're trying to break into our application, we have a else statement here. We set a message to our event object called message, and we just wrote out, your login failed, please try again. Something very simple. And we announced another event called login failed. Pretty simple. And then that, of course, corresponds to our Mach 2 file here. We have a login succeeded event, which does the redirect command, does a CF location for you, so your URL changes. I'm sure everyone's had problems where you had to do a CF location, so your URL changes in the browser. Or if it's failed, we redirect again to show the login form. So it kind of goes back to our login form. Very simple. What you could do if you wanted to do that is you could say this additional attribute on redirect will append things to the URL. So if you just want, and it's arg, so it gets it out of that event object, it gets an argument out of the event object. So you get the username, and we get the message that we sent because they failed. And that gets tacked on as URL encoded stuff at the end, and then you can pull that out on the other side, of course. Mach 2 will, of course, decode that URL stuff, put it back in the event object, so all you have to do is say get username inside that value part of your input tag, and the username's back in there, and then I'll have to retype it. Yes? Yes, it will be. That sometimes some people have a problem with things being visible in the URL string. There's another package out there. It's called that I actually wrote in open source called the Redirect Filter Plugin Persist package. And what it does is you can take anything from the event object and stick it in. You can call this filter that does something, stick it in there, it sticks it in the session scope for you, and it gives you back a unique number. You put that number in the URL, and you'd put something like, instead of this, you would put something like persist ID or something like that. It's actually a UUID that it gets back. And then once it does the CF location, since that's an actual new request, it doesn't continue, that HTTP response, that TCIP connection closes and a new one starts. So it's a new request to ColdFusion. When it comes back on the flip side, it sees that UUID in the URL and it says, oh, I have something in the session that I need to get before anything else can happen. And it pulls that out of the session for you, and voila, anything that you stored, even it could be a whole event object, is available for you to use on that request again. So it's really simple. Yeah, it works really well. I mean, I'm sure everyone's wanted to throw like a struct or a CF query and data type in their URL, and they can't do that because it only takes simple values. So maybe you've done something weird where you put it in the session scope and you pull it back out on the other side. So this is actually available for you to use within the confines of a Mach 2 application. It's called the Redirect Persist package, and actually it's available at my blog, and I have the URL at the end in the resource section for you guys. I'll have a new version, and actually this is kind of the cool thing. I wrote it as a plugin and filter, which of course is an extension that you can add to Mach 2, and I have a whole session on that tomorrow. We're going to be building something like that into the framework in Mach 2 version 1.5, which is the next version that will be coming out that we're currently working on. So you can use this for the meantime if you're doing that, and then just migrate over to the new stuff. Actually, it will just be a new attribute here that we've actually called persist, and you put true, and it's been done for you that easily. I'm sure everyone's had to architect solutions like that. Any other questions that I can take really quick here? Don't want to make sure anyone's confused. It could be a different domain if they have access to that session. Same session. Although the redirect persist filter option that I wrote lets you stick it in either session, application, or server. So if it's on the same server, you could pull it out of the server scope for you. So as long as that application that you're redirecting to is on the same server, it could be the same way. For really complex things, you might do something like WITX. But I've never actually had to redirect to a different application on a different server. Things like that you might have to do a web service for if you're doing something really tricky.
But then if you needed to persist that further than that redirect phase, then you could do some other processing to get to that.
Yeah. And since the 301, which is the HTTP response code for redirecting, stops the processing on the ColdFusion server as soon as you hit CF location. It's like writing CF location, CF abort. So everyone's run into that. I'm sure some people have used that workaround from JRun where you get the page context and you can do a server-side relocation. But your URL on the browser doesn't change then, and that can cause major problems if someone hits refresh or does something funky. Any other questions really quickly? Okay. So as we kind of walk through here, after it's done, we've announced login succeeded or login failed based on whether their credentials validate. And what I didn't show was, and I had mentioned before, these access modifiers, those are private. So if someone had evil intentions for your application, they couldn't just type your domain slash index.cfm question mark event equals login succeeded and completely bypass your login form. You wouldn't want that to happen. So we've made that private, so they can't get past that. Of course, you probably want to check somewhere in your admin. For example here, as I said before, there's that filter that you can write, or I think a few people have some that are open source, that check your login. So the first thing in our show admin menu in our password protected area is we want to check that they're logged in. And if they're not logged in, they get forwarded to that login page. And of course, we want to get a bunch of information, so we're getting, of course, this is a blogging application that's free and open source. You can download it, use it, change it. A lot of people use it as a sample application because it's a rather large quote-unquote sample, full-function sample application. And we wanted to show some things on our dashboard-type page, like how many people have made comments, how many entries do you have, some certain things like do you allow people to subscribe to your comments and or subscribe actually to your blog. And then we actually get all that information. And what we don't see here on the end over here is our notify tag, which says, hey, you listener, do this. I'm here. When the listener does a CF return, you can put that back in that event object that I was talking about. So that event object is really your sole data bus for working in this part of your Mach 2 application. So if I say, get your comment count by date, it goes and gets the comment count and returns back something, and I put that inside my event object with a key called today's comment count. So if I want to display that on my view, I can say event.getArg today's comment count, and it will output whatever today's comment count is. Yes?
So basically you're saying that it's not necessary to check on every event to see if they're logged in.
No.
Oh,
you can with the filter, or you can do something what's called a plugin. A plugin actually has 7 points that happen throughout the application, and one of them is called pre-event. It's kind of like application.cfm, where you had application.cfm, where you could check for stuff before you hit the page. It's a plugin. Yes. And plugin actually allows you, it's what I call cross-cutting. It cross-cuts your whole application. So anytime you hit an event, pre-event, it fires all the pre-event processes. So you might have something like maybe your application is internationalized and you have to get some sort of resource bundle because you show your application both in English and you show it in French and Spanish. You need to get some information. So you may say, before each time I show a view, find out what locale I'm in, you know, like EN_US for US English, and go get that resource bundle that I need for US and inject that into the event object so it's available in my view. Or if I'm in this, you know, French locale, if I'm in like, you know, CA_FR for Canadian French, I used to live in Montreal, so I actually know that. you could go get out, you could go get the resource bundle to show things in French. So, it's just a plugin. It's a architecture that allows you to write whatever you want, and it's just a plugin. Oh no, you can. The people have released many different plugins and filters. Available in Mach2.info, which is a companion site to Mach2.com, and it's in my resource section, which I'll show you in a minute, that you can either write your own or you can use something else that other people have written. And if anyone's interested in a few minutes, I can show you some examples. I can show you, like, the check filter login if anyone's interested. So basically, just a quick review, something event is announced. Our data gets injected into that event object. That form and URL scope variables go into our event object. Listeners are notified. Things happen. And then either another event is announced or the request ends because we showed some other page or anything like that. So really quickly here in the resources, I know I'm running a bit early, which is very not very usual for me. The Mach 2 website, which has all the core files, the documentation that's currently available. There's a 35-page frequently asked question document that I've been writing. It came out about a year ago with 11 pages, so it's gotten a lot bigger over the year. Of course, there's the normal sample applications, and I highly recommend running through a sample application that Matt Woodward, our release coordinator, wrote called the Hello World application, which I'm sure every language has. And there's version 1, 2, and 3 that are out there for you. So you can actually go through an iterative process in how to make your Hello World application. It goes step by step about exactly what's going on in your Hello World application. You build it up with you. App Booster.
App what?
App Booster. It's one word, APPBOOSTER. And you can just put it into Google. There's no official website for it. It's just sitting on Kurt's blog. We're trying to rectify that situation kind of fast. And if you want to get the other jumpstart, you can go into Google and type jumpstart, one word, and Dave Shuck, S-H-U-C-K. And that's also available from his blog as well. The wiki. Sean Corfield wrote a wiki a few years ago. We haven't done anything with it. I know Matt Woodward is writing a... they've been working on it for a while, and they haven't done a lot. But Board Fusion, which is going to be like a bulletin board system, will be written in Mach 2. Of course, we just released Mach Blog. Another open source application that's, I think, currently in alpha and supposedly supposed to have a beta relatively soon is a bug tracking system called Mach Bug, and that's available at mockbug.com. And that's written by the guys from Universal Mind, if I remember correctly. They're a big Mach 2 user. So there's a lot of open source stuff that is starting to come out for that. We're going to have a new Mach 2 website in the next few months that will have, dare I say, developer exchange, if anyone remembers the Macromedia developer exchange out there, but for plugins and filters and listeners and, of course, more documentation. There's the Mach 2 list at Google Groups. We moved from Topica. If anyone's ever had been on a listserv at Topica knows how bad that is. So we just recently moved to Google Groups, and there's no spam. Thank you, no spam. That's very nice, and it's not horribly active. There's about a little over 200 users right now, which is actually good. We moved from Topica with 400. I'm sure a lot of them were dead. And it gets about 4 messages at most, 4 or 5 a day, unless we're bickering about something that went wrong or talking about something with somebody. So that's a good place to get help. You can usually get an answer in a few hours at most if you need help. And if you're a newbie with Mach 2, don't worry. We're nice. A lot of people will help you out. Mach 2 Info is a website run by Phil Cruz out of California, and that's just a user-run website. You can actually, it's a little outdated, although he's been updating it recently. You can download the Mach 2 Info website as a sample application that has login stuff and things like that. So you can actually get the application that's running the website.
I wouldn't recommend it for new users, though.
No, it's a bit confusing. It's a bit obtuse. Yeah, it's a little outdated, but if you want to look at it, I definitely look at the sample applications available at Mach 2 and then look at the App Booster by Kurt Wurzma. That actually has built-in login for you, so you can build off of that. Because he wrote it because he wrote a lot of websites where you have to do a login stuff, and he was reinventing the wheel every time he was building a website, except, the wheel was shaped just slightly different each time he built it. So he thought, well, I might as well just standardize and use it one way each time. So that's a good way to look at some sample code. And of course, MachBlog is fully functioning, and you can download and look at that source code. The beta is available at machblog.org. So that's a good way to do it. And of course, MachBlog's website is up there. So any questions? This is not my moose, but thought it'd be kind of funny. Any questions? Can I answer for people? Yes. It does code highlighting for you, but there's no specific editor for Mach 2 specifically because it's XML. No, there isn't. Not that I'm aware of. That was actually just on the list. Is there a Mach 2 editor for Eclipse? I know Mark Drew has been talking about doing an editor for Fusebox for Eclipse, and there's rumblings of maybe there being a Mach 2 one at some point or another. But no, it just uses that basic XML highlighting for you, and you can import. There's a DDT available too for the XML, so you can validate against it for you.
Okay.
Not out of the box right now. We're in 1.5. One of the planned features is to be able to do multiple configuration files, which I am working on an application right now. This configuration file is really short. I have one that's over 5,000 lines. Of course, that gets kind of dicey at times, and a lot of information's in there. So multiple configuration files through an idea called modules, be able to have parent-child modules and sub-applications that you can either, say, override the parent application or not and things like that. So we're actually basing it off of Apache struct project, struts. So it's going to be pretty robust. It's not going to be a simple, oh, just include this XML file into Mach 2. There'll also be an include as well if you just want to do a simple inclusion of other files, but there'll be module support.
So 1.5
is getting architected. We've been spending the last 2 months architecting. One of the things we do on the Mach 2 list is we've been publishing our specs. We actually write specs. We write out kind of an abstract, what the problem is, how to fix the problem, and then how to actually fix the problem in Mach 2. We just released one for another one called subroutines, and Kurt has already written the one for module support, so that should be out in the next few days or the next week or so. We're going to put it up on the Google Groups. We just share a Google Doc. We're really big into sharing Google Docs publicly because it's easy for people to get at, and we can update it, and people will always get the most up-to-date document at that time. So that's something planned in 1.5. Don't ask me when it's coming out, because I would say sometime between now and CF United, if I can be any more, give us enough, at least a beta or an alpha. Another thing that we also allow is subversion access to our repository, so you can always get the most bleeding edge release. And the current bleeding edge release right now doesn't have any changes with the current stable release of 1.1.1. So how many more ones can I say in the version number? Any other questions?
Does Matplotlib support images as well?
I think Matt put in one image, but I know it's, if it's not in there now, it's on our list. I can't remember which list it's on, if it's on the features that have been implemented or features to be implemented. I know it was more important to be able to do like a blog post than put up an image.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Yes?
Is there any sort of strategy to do sort of Ruby on Rails-esque sort of interaction with Ajax on the client side with Mach 2? Or?
Well, you can definitely use an event handler to return back XML data that could be consumed by any of the Ajax frameworks that you'd like. You just have to make sure it's formatted in XML that you would like, or JSON or anything that you like that. So it's the view, when you render a view, it doesn't necessarily have to be HTML. A view could be JSON data or XML data. It could be, if you have the Java implementation of Widix, it could be Widix if you really want it. What? For the views? You would have to write your own like JSON interpreter if you want, but we've talked about releasing a JSON or an XML interpreter that would take like a CoFusion struct and turn it into the appropriate data type for whatever you want to consume. So the views are very, you can write them in HTML. It could be returning stuff for Ajax, anything like that. So it's really technology independent. And I know, I'm going to say this right now, you don't use Mach 2 to build Flex applications. You can build a model that can run an HTML website and Flex at the same time, but you would never actually run any of the Flex stuff through Mach 2. Mach 2 is definitely for HTML-esque websites. I always get that question, how do I hook Mach 2 up to Flex? And you don't hook Mach 2 up to Flex. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just how you bring, like, you know, your head or your body and your sure. together.
Oh, of course I'm going to get the if I search by main template. Here it is. Let me move over here. So when I call main template as announced in this event, it actually get some. I need to get some information. Actually, getting the categories in MockBlog to figure out what categories that are currently available in your blog, and it takes the header, puts that in an argument in your event object, calls layout dot, it calls that key layout.header, does it for the nav menu, the categories, the archives, so forth, down to the bottom. And then we have a view page, which you can see is missing that content arg attribute. And it's going to take all those arguments that we just threw in there, basically put them in pounds around, basically wrapped all in a big CF output. So you're actually using that event object not only to do data, you're also using it to take care of your views are actually a piece of data anyway. So it's your data bus for everything from user data to, you know, layout data for layouts. And then, of course, that renders and gets put all together, and it puts in the string buffer for CF, and it gets sent back to your browser.
Where's the view page?
The actual page? The actual static page is right here in a folder called views in layout, and we can say main template, and you can see, well, actually, excuse me, I need to go, forgot that we have this whole thing skinned. We have different skins. As you can see, our main template has, of course, the correct HTML header stuff. We get some things to figure out if we need to import some other JavaScript stuff, mostly QForms. And down here in our body, you can see we have git arg. There it gets our nav menu, our categories, our archives. Just basically outputs them in the correct places. There's our title, content, footer. So it's basically something you've probably reinvented the wheel with before in the past. Maybe using on request end or anything like that.
Is there any CMS systems built with MongoDB?
The only one really that's open source for CF is Far Cry, and that's not built on Mach2. That's built on their own framework. And I don't know, has anyone done any Far Cry work?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt to set up. It is, yeah. We've talked about having some like mock CMS project, but you know we're only not getting paid for this. So, yeah, I have a friend of mine who's rebuilding a website, and they basically built their own CMS system using Mach2 and doing XSLT transformations of XML documents instead of buying an off-the-shelf CMS product like PaperThin, which they couldn't afford, and they didn't want to deal with Far Cry because there's a lot of problems with Far Cry. Some people like it, some people don't.
Now that Rob's not here, I'm going to ask Rob related questions.
Okay.
What do you think about the Ajax CFC with Mach2? Have you seen that, the project that Rob's done?
Yeah, I haven't done much of the Ajax stuff with Mach2. I've done a lot of Spry stuff with Mach2, so I haven't used his implementation. I hear it works fine. I have no people who've done it.
Yeah.
No, I don't either. I'm not, I will be first to say I'm not quite sold on Ajax, except for some nifty stuff that you can't do in HTML.
Well, you can, I mean, like the suggest, that Ajax suggests, and
yeah,
things like that. I mean, those are things that I would implement it for, but, I mean, Mach2's already pretty fast, so I don't think
yeah. Well, thank you, everybody. I just got the stop sign. Yes, I'll take your question, actually, afterwards.
I was just
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the model stuff actually is being managed by ColdSpring, the other framework. So if you want to see more about ColdSpring, go check that out. That's great place. I use ColdSpring all the time. I would not write an application without it. Thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate you coming to Mach2. And if you want to get a hold of me, this is my contact information. Thank you.